All right. I'm going to have a little bit more water. All right, we're good to go.
All right.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast. I'm so excited. I've got a great guest today, Dawn Richardson. She's out of Texas. Which city in Texas are you in, Dawn?
I'm in San Antonio.
Awesome. Dawn has been a wedding photographer for the last 4 years, but she's already booking 30 to 35 weddings a year. And one thing I just learned is I was like, what's your average per wedding? And she's like, well, there's not an average. We just have one package, $4,600 bucks a wedding. So that's fantastic. I think there's so many of my listeners who are striving to get to a place like that. You're also tacking on albums to most of your clients as well. Just crushing it. Congratulations, Dawn, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Guys, I want to take a moment just to say I've really, in the next year, we're really doubling down on podcasts and some new videos we've got coming out in our new Facebook group, the Photography Marketing Mastermind, where I'm really bringing to you guys new educators, newer photographers who are really, lack of a better analogy, like boots on the ground, growing their business and mentoring other photographers to create the same success in their business. I think that sometimes we can kind of lose touch of all of the noise and all the tactics. And I think there's sometimes there's educators in our industry that aren't really shooting anymore and just focusing on teaching. And I wanted to get right to the source of what's working and what's resonating with clients. And that's why we're working on this new series. And Dawn, you're exactly that. I'm so excited. Just in the last 30 minutes we've been chatting, I've learned so much new and stuff that I haven't heard from other educators on the scene. So I'm excited to have you in the chat.
Well, awesome.
So guys, here's a quick outline. We're going to call this preparing for the storm. And Dawn, I can tell already, is really good at buckling down and doing batch work that is both preparing for a real storm where, like, we're going to talk about backing up, having a good backup plan of your images and your clients' images to prepare for the worst, and preparing for the good storm of having more clients. I know that there's this kind of tricky spot where some photographers haven't taken the time to build really good systems because they're like, well, I don't have enough clients yet to build a system. Where Dawn's going to share how she's helped photographers build systems, and in doing so, have that help them actually land more clients. So I'm really excited. We're going to dig through choosing an online cloud system that's super simple. She does not use a local attached, like, a hard drive or LAN device, which I'm excited to hear why and why you don't need that. And you can save some money by just making it online. And then we're going to talk about choosing a studio management tool. She uses Tave, but she also mentors photographers who use a wide variety of systems out there. And we're going to talk about some of the key decisions on choosing one and where to start when you first get started with a client management system. Okay, Dawn, let's start with, I'm curious, just this idea of a $4,600 package and why you just have one.
Yeah, so I've gone through a lot of iterations of different packages, different styles, and I was honestly an a la carte type style until recently. And the a la carte style was nice. It gave a lot of flexibility to my clients, but what I've learned along the way that sometimes that flexibility is not a good thing because they get overwhelmed by it. Right. And I actually attended a workshop in September called the Next Level Retreat. And at that workshop, I spoke with multiple photographers who did a one package deal. And one of them was Natalie Frank. She was there. And another one, Brett and Brandy, they have a very similar package where it's all day coverage. They include a session. And they really shared with me how great it's been for their clients because it doesn't overwhelm them and it gives you the flexibility to serve them well. And I really loved that because nobody likes the conversation at the end of the night. Your couple's having the time of their lives and they're like, we're going to stay for another hour. And then you're like, sorry, that's $600. And then it's this awkward, like, do I stay? Do I go? They're upset now. And it's just, I wanted to be able to serve them well, especially me who the reception's like the favorite part of my day too. And I want to celebrate with them. So we converted to this package. Keep it simple. We determine what the coverage is. So if like they're going golfing at 6 a.m., we're not going to be there. We have like set start times and like a set end time. And we discuss that with them, but it's flexible. So if it shifts by 30 minutes or an hour, it's not anything they have to worry about. And that has actually worked really well for us. And it allows me to serve them really well. And they've been happy as a result too.
I love it. So there's, we're going to talk about mindset also, and we can start here, and this feeds in perfectly. Uh-huh. I think that there's so much, there's a lot of resources and a lot of opinions out there on how to price, how to communicate your pricing, how to introduce it, which do you make it available on your website? Do you only show it in person? Are you upselling products before, after? There's just so many different ways to skin that cat. But more importantly than any of it is, how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
Right? How do you feel about your offer? And can you talk about it with confidence? Like, and so you were talking about when you have a system, mm-hmm. can you share how that impact it's had for you and your students when you first start with having this system and confidence?
Absolutely. So yes, I am very confident in that package, but I do think that comes with a lot of experience of feeling like a professional. And I see it all the time. I see in Facebook groups where a new photographer is like, am I technically a professional? Like, when can I call myself a professional? And for me, it's, you're a professional when you believe you're a professional. And I believe a lot of that has to come through systems and how you run your business. Because once you are implementing things, you're taking care of your clients' files, your contracts, things like that, you're subconsciously going to feel more and more confident in that business. And that, you know, that's, I'm a firm believer in start early. Even if you only have 5 clients, find a system that works for you that manages those invoices, those contracts. Because if you take yourself seriously, that's when your clients are going to start to take yourself seriously. And if you don't take yourself seriously, it will bleed into your client experience because they will recognize that you don't feel confident and they're going to lose confidence in you as well. So I'm a big proponent in that. Definitely.
I love it. It's so good. It's just you start to act like a boss and people will experience you like a boss, right?
Exactly. And you treat yourself like one too. You create boundaries and mm-hmm. you know, you treat the business like a business. And that's really important. And
building that confidence to say no, right? To say, here's the boundary. That's so healthy and so helpful. And I've found that when I'm hiring somebody, that the one that just is all about yeses. Like, when are you available? Oh, whenever you are.
Yes.
Like, well, how long is this going to take you? I'll get it really quick. Like, wait a sec. Those are all just red flags that like, actually you don't have a lot of experience doing this. And if you're not super busy, that means you're probably not very good. And like when I'm hiring somebody, they say, well, I'm booked out for the next month, but mm-hmm. I think I could really add value to this project. And I think it's going to take this long. Like boom, 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 like huge green lights, signals to me that they are in fact professionals.
Absolutely.
And I think that when we're just getting started, there's this, you got to fake it till you make it. And in what's hard to fake is like the fact, like how many clients you might have, but when you have systems, that's real. Like yes. That's the next best thing to have in place. So you're like, look, I'm prepared. And you can, yeah, there's all different times, ways to spin that. I love it. All right. So now let's keep working our way up the process. I think this is where I want to geek out. We haven't done the importance of having a good backup ever on the podcast. So I'm excited to just dig in. I'm a huge nerd.
Yes. this is my favorite.
Let's talk about It's something that you've had a lot of success yourself. You actually worked at Apple teaching this stuff before. So I love it. Let's start with why. Why is it so important, right? I think it's, we all kind of know, it's almost like having health insurance or life insurance. We know we should, but we don't always make the time to do it.
Absolutely. So here's the deal. Our clients invest a lot of money into us. $4,600 is a big investment for my clients, and I owe it to them to protect their investment. And I firmly believe that. So not only is it an investment, I hold on these hard drives the most important day of their lives.
Yeah.
And when I think worst case scenarios, it's not always worst case scenarios for me. It could be worst case scenarios for a city. It could be worst case scenarios that impact a lot of people. If a hurricane comes through and they lose their files and I lose my files, that's not a good experience for either of us, right?
It's tragic. Yeah, it is.
And while educating my clients on how to back up their own files is an important piece to what I do, it's even more important for me to protect a business asset. And those files are a business asset for me. Mm-hmm. So firm believer, I do actually use physical hard drives that are local. I do have a couple of those, but I don't use any type of like RAID software or anything like that. But having that backup that is somewhere else other than your desk is vital. And that's where I hone in the most, is having that cloud system is so important, because it only takes one fire, it takes one tornado, one, you know, hurricane to wipe out everything that is local.
Yep. Yeah, I think that we can, let's just start at the most basic for a second. What is a cloud? The cloud backup. It just means that it's somewhere not on site, right?
Somewhere not on site. Yes. I use Backblaze. And every time, the way that I have my system set up, I copy only my raw files to a drive, and Backblaze is constantly looking at that drive to upload to them. And then it's actually pretty quick for me. I do have a great internet here. So I can upload an entire wedding overnight. So it's very quick.
That's huge. We'll get more into the details in a second. Okay. I'm curious, how long do you store your clients' images? What's the commitment?
Forever.
Wow.
I'm a forever kind of person. And I will never wipe a hard drive. I use 4 to 8 terabyte drives, depending on what part of the system we're talking about. Yep. And let's be honest, storage is pretty cheap right now.
Yeah,
and it's not hard to get more. I order a new drive maybe every 6 months, and it's $200 a time.
Right.
You know, a $400 investment to be to protect my business assets is huge for me. And I will take that investment any day over the convenience of.
So is the rule of thumb is at least 2 points of failure, right?
Oh, at least. Yes. If not three.
Yeah. Right. So let's walk. Okay. So now let's kind of, you've committed to storing your client's raw images.
Yes.
Forever. And that's included in their price. Really, really cool. Okay. Yes.
That's not something I market to them.
Yeah.
The only part I market to them is that their gallery is available for a year. But it is something, that is important to me. And if they do come back 5 years later and they want to like bring something back after their gallery has expired, we do have an archive fee. It's pretty minimal, and it's there if they need it. And that's just important for us to have.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see, where do I want to go? Let's talk about your workflow first.
Sure.
So while you're working on files, you want them on your local drive typically so that your computer can work a little faster. Are you keeping them on a local drive and moving them back and forth, or are you working on them while they're on a remotely attached drive?
They are always on a remote drive. I will never have a file touch my desktop. or my local computer. Yeah. And I do that for a number of reasons. I've actually not experienced too much of a lag by working from an external drive. Yep. But I have a desktop and a laptop that I bounce between very frequently. Yeah. And the ability to open that Lightroom catalog on both drives at any point in time, just yep. depending on whichever one is plugged in, is important to me.
And are you able, so are you attached physically with a cable to those yep. drives? Or,
I yeah, sure
okay.
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. It's, yeah. it's editing. The ability to do it wirelessly to sometimes yeah. that's where you would experience more of a lag, right?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
I forgot to go even upstream one more step on sure. the wedding. Let's talk about the steps you take just to protect images while you're shooting and in your yeah. process at the wedding.
So I'm a firm believer in dual slots, and I shoot dual slots always, full raw to both cards. Okay. And so that's where it starts for me, right? Redundancy yeah. within the camera.
Right.
And this is kind of like an old school way.
Have you had a card fail? Yes.
Yep. Yep. Especially, I find that CF cards, just because they're bulkier, they're a little bit more rugged. They tend to do a little bit better. But the SDs, they're very fragile. You drop one. I've dropped one into water once. That's how I lost an SD.
yeah.
Or if something didn't write correctly, having that CF backup is huge. And I also, this is kind of like an old school thing, but I will never wipe a card until the wedding has been delivered. So yeah. I naturally, shooting 30 weddings a year, have a ton of SD cards. But again, that's an investment that's worthwhile to me. I can make sure that I have those cards ready to go if I were ever to re-upload them for some reason, right. Whether that's user error or if it's
so. By the time you've delivered a wedding, yeah. you've got it on the original card. You've got it on your your hard drives.
My working drive, office. Yes. Yes, yep. I have it on a working drive and then the external drive that Backblaze looks at.
Yep. Oh, there's two. Okay, so let's talk about a working drive. What does a working drive mean? How is that different?
So my working drives, I use like the orange lacy ruggeds. I really love them. But that working drive is what houses the raw files, my Lightroom catalog, and also the final files for each wedding. I use a different catalog for every single client. So it's never the same Lightroom catalog. That drive is locally being backed up to another external drive that's a Time Machine backup. So Apple has Time Machine, which is fantastic. Every hour on the hour, it's looking at that working drive and backing up any changes. There was a situation early in my business where I accidentally formatted the working drive, and it was like 3.5 terabytes of data that was gone in about 30 seconds. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. But take a deep breath. I had that Time Machine backup, and it took about a couple hours for all of those files to be transferred back onto the drive that I just formatted. So that's always there, and that's always running. And then I have the third drive, and these are the Time Machine drive and what I call the Backblaze drive. Those are bigger external hard drives that are plugged into power. The working drives are the kind of drives that just plug straight into your computer and they're powered from your computer. So they're more transportable, things like that. It's easy to take them and kind of go to a coffee shop or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So are the other drives watching that drive wirelessly, or do they have to be plugged in also?
No, I have a USB splitter and I plug them in physically.
Both,
yes.
Both. Okay,
keep it simple. Cool. Yeah.
Is it a solid state drive, the working drive?
No. They're all hard drives, but with 5 points of failure at that point, if one right. were to go down, it's not hard to
bring it back.
Put it back up. Yes, exactly. To replace it, right?
Yeah.
And solid state is getting cheaper, but right now it's still cheaper to have those physically moving hard drives. And with a desktop drive, they're not ever moving. They just kind of sit behind my computer. So they are experiencing very little movement, if any. Right. So cool. That helps too. Yes. Yep.
I love it. Okay. So now let's talk about getting it up to the cloud and and the different options. I don't even know if it's worth mentioning. I was on CrashPlan also. It was great. They're actually a local company here in Minnesota, but they went through a pretty controversial change. I think a lot of these unlimited backup companies, they made a huge bet that storage was going to continue to be cheap. But what I don't think they anticipated is the megapixel, the file size of images to continue to just skyrocket.
Yes.
and so they kind of panicked, and a lot of them have had to since change their pricing as a result.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I was with CrashPlan for a long time, and I really did love them. And it was one of those things, like, I'm just going to give this one a try just to see if it's any different. And it just worked a little bit better with my internet capabilities that I have here. And it was much faster. So that's why I made the switch.
Cool. And so what is Backblaze cost?
So I pay it annually, and it's $50 a year.
What?
It's super cheap. Like, there's no excuse why you don't have it.
When will it ever go up for you?
No, that's their price.
It's unlimited. You pay $50 a year, unlimited.
Yes. You can get 2 years for 90. I almost did that, but I was like, well, my accountant likes to see where my money is going every year. So I'll just do the year one. It is super cheap, and there is no reason why you should not have this. It is cheaper than a cup of coffee.
What's your library right now? How big is it?
Let's see. I can look. I'm going to say it is 12 million megabytes. So what is that? About 12 terabytes?
100. Yeah, 12 terabytes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. And we kind of had to go backtrack because we used CrashPlan for so long that we wanted all of our old files to also be on Backblaze. So there was a bit of time where we were uploading old files, and that whole process of all 12 of those terabytes took maybe a month and a half, which, considering how much 12 terabytes really is, that's really great.
That's crazy. When I had to make the move, it's like my Comcast, I started getting warnings from my Comcast because it just sits there and runs. And a lot of the good, whether it's Backblaze or something else, they're usually pretty good at throttling themselves while you're doing other work. And usually it's just best to let it run overnight. Yes. When there's less traffic on the whole network, and things will go up quicker. Okay. This is awesome. I love going deep. I hope, guys, let me know. I'd love to just send me an email at Nate@StickyAlbums. If this going deep here in this kind of technical stuff is something you're interested in, we should do more of. That was fun. As everybody knows, I'm a huge nerd. Okay. So now let's talk about client management systems.
Yeah.
You use Tave.
I do.
How long have you been using them? And was there, can you give me an example of like what was life like before that? Or did you just know that you needed it and right from the beginning?
So I have been with Tave very early, since the very beginning. I think there were maybe like 4 months of my business where I didn't have a client management system. And it was, you know, printing things or scanning them, sending them via email, having them print them, sign them, and then send them back. And at the time, I was working as a software engineer. So it was very apparent to me that I needed to find a better solution. It's like, I'm a software engineer. I shouldn't be sending, you know, files for them to print and scan and send back to me. And it also came with, you know, how do I manage these files? Is it like, how do I remember who didn't sign their contract and who did, and who paid their invoices and who didn't? So I kind of went on the quest for finding the perfect client management system for me very early in my business. And at the time, I was teaching tools at the corporate job that I was in. And so I was kind of like doing what I did at work. I was evaluating tools and just finding what I was looking for. And for me, Tave was that winner. It's very robust. It is a little bit complicated to set up, but once it's there, it really becomes the heartbeat of your business. And that's what's always kept me there. And I've experimented with other client management systems, mainly because a lot of my mentoring clients will choose a different client management system. And I like to be able to help them in their quest for finding the right one. But for me, this is just the workhorse that really has become the heartbeat of my business. And I don't see myself going any other direction for a very long time, if ever.
I love it. And I think let's spend some moments just talking about, I think what would be helpful is to talk about what are some of the first things? Because it's overwhelming. It's like when you get one of these new systems, you're like, what should I automate? And it's like, you don't know where to start. And it's important to start getting some value out of a system quickly, even if it's just, you're using it just for a little bit of your business. And then gradually you start, it's almost like hiring a new employee. I love talking about software as if it's an employee, where you say, okay, here's your first month on the job. Here's what we want you. We want you to handle all of the invoicing. And once we've got that ironed out and that's working the way you want it, then you start giving the software more responsibility in your business. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about, maybe let's just do that now. Where do you like starting? And where do you recommend your students start, or the first thing to automate and to build into a CRM like that?
Absolutely. Contracts and invoices are always my number one. And there was something I learned early in this business that I really think helped me grow my brand and my relationship with my clients. Because I know a lot of newer photographers and even a lot of experienced photographers have a fear of asking for money. They really struggle with that. And when, like what you said, your system is an employee. So create these automations to really almost place the blame on the system, and it takes it off of you. You know, emails that say, this is an automated reminder that you need to pay this invoice. And that separates me, Dawn, from the system who is asking them for money. And I know that sounds cool. Really silly.
I've never heard that before. That's awesome. I love it.
It sounds really silly because it's really me that automated that email. I even use the verbiage, my system will email you a reminder when it comes time for to pay your invoice.
Yeah.
And you treat it like an employee, right? So when they get those emails, they're like, oh, that darn system, right? Not like, Dawn.
It's almost like my assistant. It's just the equivalent of saying my assistant is going to, I love it.
Exactly. And that took a lot of fear away early on when you're early on in your business and you're trying to like build that confidence, like you mentioned, and be really sure in what you're doing, just kind of separating you from the system a little bit really helps with that. So with that, starting with your invoices and your contracts, I always lean on contracts first because those are so important to have, whether or not they're extremely robust and been written by a lawyer or if they're very simple. Just having that information in black and white so both parties understand expectations is huge. Because there are going to be times when a client comes back and they say, well, can you do this? And you have something to lean on that says, we can do this, but these are the parameters of we're going to do this or we're going to charge you more for this XYZ. And like what you mentioned earlier, you know, it kind of establishes like, this is how long it takes. This is what you should expect. This is how you're going to expect it. And those are green lights, right? Not red lights.
Yeah.
So I always start there. And then those invoices too.
And I think, so there's subtle details here. One is just, I think it levels up your business. It helps you feel and act like a professional when there's a contract. Yes. And the contract, I sent an email. I don't usually send mean emails back, but there was I think it was somebody for my payroll company. I had to there's like three different contracts. I had to print out, I had to sign them, upload, like giving somebody a PDF. It's like, come on, especially if you're going after millennials. It's such a dead end. Like, really? I have to do like being able to sign something online with a phone or with a computer without having to print, without having to install any special software, and being able to pay with a credit card, a down payment. All of it's, we're no longer, you're not being compared to other photographers, really. What we're all being compared to is Amazon.
Yes.
And the like other online tools, right?
Yes.
That is what, it's the new standard. We are used to things being dead simple. And I can't tell you like how hard it is to get somebody to sign to a contract if they, it's just like, it's so, every time I have to do it, it's just, oh, yeah. I get all upset just talking about it. Okay.
Yes.
So starting with contracts, I love it. The next step I want to talk about is a quick story from my corporate days at a giant, it was a giant like ERP software company. So like they, when Target or Walmart wants to run their payroll, they would use Lawson, which is the company I worked at. Uh-huh. Anyways, super nerdy. I didn't, when I learned this point, I didn't realize how important it was for everybody. We learned that when a customer would buy software because they liked the salesperson or they liked the features or they liked the, like the, some, whatever, they're buying the software versus buying the best practices. So if you're shopping for a studio management tool and you're saying, I'm going to find a tool that I like, and then I'm going to change it to work the way I do my business, you're probably not going to be successful. What I recommend doing when looking at this, the, there's Shoot Flow, there's IrisWorks, there's the giants like 17 Hats, HoneyBook, is spending some time learning from the people that created it. What are the best practices that they thought were, are important? What did they build their business around? Because the reality is there is software is not magic, does not do anything like that a human can't do, but it starts with a series of processes and tools and best practices that the designers, the people who made it, thought were important. Like, this is how you should run a business. And then, oh, by the way, here's some software that makes that simpler. And you're going to have so much more success running it in your business. And you were the first to say that, well, Tave is going to be, there's this constant trade-off where it does pretty much anything and everything you want it to do, but it's a little bit more complicated than the others. But you're all in, you know, you're pretty technical, you can figure it out. So it's just finding the one that's right for you that speaks your language.
Absolutely. That's so important.
And being willing to change the way or making it, the process of installing a software is really saying, I am going to run my business this way. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, how can I make the software do the thing that I want it to do, right? Really taking the time to learn the best. Anyways, that's my rant there. Yes. Hugely.
You're taking me back to my software days. I can totally relate to all of that.
I love it.
Yes.
Okay. This has been so much fun. Is there anything else, any fun tips you like to share to your mentorship clients that you have been really helpful?
You know, I'm a firm believer that creating systems and finding the right tools in your business, like what you mentioned, is not a cookie cutter solution. Just because I use a tool doesn't mean you should. Really spend some time, sit down and evaluate the tool and if it works or the system and how it would work for you. Because no matter how great a system is or how great it works for someone else, it's not going to work for you if you don't use it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't fit in your business, then you're never going to use it. and then it becomes expensive. It becomes cumbersome. You learn to resent the tool. So I really encourage all of my clients to just take some time and really find what works for you. And whether that's, you know, maybe you work better in a pen and paper kind of world. And how can you implement an online system with that? And just finding those ways to solve those big problems you're having is what's important. It's not about what that person over there or what the really successful photographer is using.
Yeah.
You know, find what works for you and stick with it and be okay with that. And a system like that is going to grow you so much more than just doing something because someone else said to. So that's a big piece of what I send to my clients.
So cool. So I think, do you have, if people want to learn more, have you done any training or anything on the documents and shows more about your backup process?
Absolutely. Yes. So cool. On our blog, so donelizabethstudios.com, you can just click on blog. We do have a tab on the side for education. And
we'll link directly to those articles and to those pages in the show notes and on our blog where this is posted. Yes. And there's opportunities to learn more about mentorship with you if somebody's interested in that. We'll send you guys resources there. Dawn, thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a blast geeking out. I've learned so much myself, and I love just wrapping up as a reminder to everybody how acting like a pro, we all know there's nothing like booking clients and building momentum in your business that helps your confidence. But this is such a cool thing to think about. It's the next best thing when you're working on slow season or you don't have the clients that you really need yet. When you focus on your business and building these systems preemptively, it is going to give you the confidence you need that your clients can sense. Even though you're not saying it the right way, like your clients can all listen and hear between the lines that you're a boss and you're ready to take on this huge responsibility and you're gonna handle their shoot, whatever it is, wedding, family, boudoir, in whatever it is that you're gonna show up and handle and take care of them and give them a sense of control in the process along with letting you kind of run the day. Really, really good stuff. So thank you so much, Dawn.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Nate.
All right. We'll see you soon. Have a good rest of your day, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.